Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Song of Earth by Daniel Aronson, narrated by Jeffrey Kafer. Chapter 1. Colonel Moraid Firebug McQueen, commander of the Firebird Fleet, watched thousands of alien warships open fire. Below her, Earth burned. Moraid stood in her cabin aboard the HDFS Jerusalem. The heavy frigate, humanity's flagship, was orbiting Earth. Moraid stared through the porthole at the devastation, at the scaly warships of the Basilisk Empire, at the storms of flame and fury pounding her homeworld. For an instant, just half a breath, Moraid forgot her duties. She froze in terror.
"It's beginning," she thought. "The Great War."
Of course, humans had been fighting for Earth for generations. They had fought the Scorpions in the depths of space. For almost 2 years now, they had been fighting the Basilisks here at Earth. Some humans, like President Emmett Ben-Ari, had been fighting since before Moraid had been born. But this was different. Watching the fire rain, Moraid knew this was no ordinary battle.
"This is our war of independence," she thought, "or our war of extinction."
The instant of horror ended, and Moraid McQueen did what she did best. She leaped into battle.
"All Firebirds, prepare for launch,"
she shouted into her comm. Firebirds were humanity's best weapon, best hope. The starfighters were quick and deadly, capable of fighting in space or air. Moraid had been flying Firebirds for most of her life. Today she commanded the entire Firebird fleet, humanity's front line of defense. Today it was her duty to save the world. She was already wearing her armored spacesuit. She had not removed it in days, not even to sleep, not with tensions so high. She reached for her helmet, which lay on a table, when a blast hit the Jerusalem. The starship jolted, knocking Moraid against a bulkhead. Her helmet clattered by her feet. She scooped up the helmet, didn't even pause to put it on, and burst out of her cabin. Klaxons blared across the Jerusalem. Red lights strobed. Most of the ship's complement was down on Earth. The remaining skeleton crew was running along the corridors, racing to their battle stations. Another blast slammed into the frigate. The mighty warship jolted. Moraid screamed and fell. Fire blazed above her and smoke filled the corridor. A laser beam flashed ahead, green and crackling and thrumming with energy, carving into the hull. A man screamed and died, sliced in two. Blood rose from the corpse like a red snake, funneling toward a hole in the hull, then flowed into space. Moraid lay on the floor, staring, frozen. Her eyes burned. Through a porthole, she saw the rest of her fleet. 1,000 human starships, burning, falling toward Earth, lasers hitting the starships one by one, and explosions filled space. The enemy was everywhere. Thousands of elongated rattlers, the Basilisk's scaly warships, were flying outside. Lasers flashed. Bombs rained. This alien fleet had been orbiting Earth for a year now, blockading the planet. But now the Basilisks were done with a mere siege. Now they were attacking in earnest. Now they were firing everything they had, destroying Earth and her fleet. And Moraid saw something even worse. Something that froze her blood. Wormholes appeared around Earth, 7 massive portals rimmed with fire. From each portal, new enemy warships emerged. Moraid knew these ships. She had seen them in the depths of space before. And now they were here, at her home. One wormhole spewed the organic pod ships of the Asporians, sentient mushrooms that loathed humanity. They were foul fungus, able to disperse clouds of toxic spores. They bred faster than rabbits, and they thrived on rotting human flesh. From the second wormhole, the dagger-shaped warships of the Elonians, humanoids with transparent skin and innards of fire. They had once been human allies. Now they would fight to see humanity destroyed. From the third, spiky ships like urchins, filled with hell wolves, demonic canines known for terrorizing 1,000 worlds. They were larger than horses, their fangs like swords, rabid beasts feared across the galaxy. The fourth wormhole discharged fleshy ships like sacks of skin. These loathsome pustules carried alien blobs, living cubes of mucus that loved to digest their victims alive. From the fifth portal, massive boxy ships of metal, filled with carnivorous caterpillars. These beasts would never become butterflies. The size of crocodiles, they sprouted rings of arms around their jaws, built to grab their victims and pull them into ravenous hellmouths. From the sixth portal, circular ships filled with salty water and spiky marine killers. The fish inside made sharks seem like sponges. From the final porthole flew more rattlers, the serpentine warships of the Basilisk Empire. But this was no ordinary Basilisk armada. The mighty Viperus, Zerka's new flagship, led this fleet. The Serpent Queen had come herself, leading this monstrous host. She would oversee Earth's destruction. Seven portals, seven alien fleets, each crueler than the last. All had united, all were bombarding the world. Below, Earth was burning. Earth had faced alien invasions before, but never something like this. Never seven armies attacking together. It was the end, Mairead knew. The end of humanity. She trembled. She couldn't breathe. The air was fleeing the pierced hull of the Jerusalem. Her skin began to blister. Her saliva boiled on her tongue. She clenched her fists and gritted her teeth. Fight, to the very end, to a death in fire and glory. She screamed and rose to her feet. She placed her helmet over her fiery curls and gulped down oxygen, and she ran. She leaped over corpses, the corpses of friends. Another laser beam hit the Jerusalem, carving through the hull. Mairead dropped to her knees and slid forward, passing under the beam, then rose and ran again. She burst into the Firebird hangar. After a long war, Earth was low on Firebirds. At the height of its power during the Golden Age long ago, Earth had commanded thousands of these starfighters. Today they were down to dozens. Only a handful awaited Mairead here aboard the Jerusalem. And lasers were carving them up. Mairead skidded to a halt and stared, aghast. Two laser beams, as thick as her arm, crackling with green fury, were searing the hangar. They ripped up the deck, sliced open bulkheads, and tore into Firebirds. Several pilots lay dead, carved up like Christmas hams. Living pilots were scrambling into their cockpits. "Deploy!" Mairead shouted, running toward one of the remaining Firebirds. "Fly, pilots of Earth! Fly and fight!" A laser swept toward her, burning everything in its path. Mairead leaped over the beam. She hopped into her Firebird, slammed the canopy shut, and fired up the engine. Around her, the surviving pilots did the same. Ear-crushing electric guitars boomed inside Mairead's cockpit, the music she always played when flying, to energize her, to drown her fear. The airlock was mangled, its doors hanging loose, exposing space. The entire frigate was falling apart. Mairead fired her starfighter's machine guns, tearing off the loose doors. Then she shoved down the throttle and roared out into space. Five other Firebirds followed. They flew into hell. Mairead had fought in many battles. She had joined the heirs of Earth at age 13, becoming the youngest soldier in its history. For 14 years now, she had been fighting for Earth. Her Firebird had flown in the greatest battles. She had flown with the Iron Lioness at the Battle of Terminus, storming toward armadas of scorpion strikers. She had fought above the forest moon of Helios, charging against the dreadnought of Jade the Huntress. She'd even fought in the Battle of Aelonia, the climactic battle of the Galactic War where a million starships had burned. But Mairead had never seen anything like this. She could not see the sky below nor the stars above. She could barely see Earth at all, barely see the rest of her fleet. Only fire. Only death. For a year now, Zerka's rattlers had surrounded Earth like a noose, tightening, threatening, but not yet attacking. But Earth had lost the vote at the Galactic Council. Thousands of alien species had decided Earth belonged to the Basilisks. Now that Basilisk fleet, along with its allies, was unleashing all its wrath. Flying in lower orbit, the human warships were fighting back. Their cannons were pounding the enemy. More Firebirds were emerging from other motherships. but the human fleet was so small. Most of Earth's ships, mere tankers and freighters, barely equipped for war. They were falling fast. The enemy was firing everything they had, laser beams, torpedoes, poisonous spores, blobs of acid, plasma bolts, and whirring blades tipped with explosives. The fusillade tore through the human fleet. Legendary ships, ships that had fought in legendary battles, that had liberated gulags, that had delivered the first colonists to Earth, were burning and falling. But the horror in space was nothing compared to the horror on Earth itself. The rattlers kept spewing, spinning, flaming projectiles. The incendiary storm toward Earth like comets, leaving trails of fire. They slammed into the planet, raising tidal waves, shattering mountains, burning grasslands and woodlands, burning colonies. Murray took this all in within several heartbeats. Then she turned her Firebird away from Earth. She soared, charging toward the enemy host. Zerka's rattlers hid the stars, thousands upon thousands of them. They were long, undulating warships, shaped like the serpents inside them. Armored scales covered their bendable hulls. Portholes blazed upon their prows like red eyes. Cannons thrust out like fangs. Engines roared on their sterns like rattlesnake tails, giving these deadly machines their name. The largest were a kilometer long, dreadnoughts more powerful than any Earth vessel. But even the smallest rattlers were mighty frigates, as large as the Jerusalem. And with them, thousands of other alien warships, metallic and organic, smooth and spiky, all firing their guns. Alone in her Firebird, Mairead screamed as she soared toward them. She knew she was going to die. She flew onward.
"Fire on those sons of bitches!"
she shouted and unleashed an arsenal of missiles. Around her, the other Firebirds rose. They added their firepower to hers. The missiles streamed upward, moving at hypersonic speed, and slammed against the rattlers. They pierced through armor. They drove into enemy decks. Scaly warships exploded above, raining shrapnel. Below Mairead, several human frigates fired their cannons. Shells the size of men pounded the enemy, tearing open more hulls. For a moment, Mairead dared to hope. They were outnumbered 100-1. But maybe, just maybe, they could win. And then the enemy starfighters swarmed. They emerged from the Basilisk motherships, hundreds of them. Each was only a few meters long, covered in metal scales. The humans called them copperheads, tiny vessels, barely larger than the snakes who flew them. Despite their size, they were horrifyingly deadly. The copperheads charged toward the Firebirds at dizzying speed, firing lasers, vowing death. Mairead growled and kicked her yoke, tossing her Firebird into a barrel roll. She corkscrewed upward, howling, dodging lasers. A beam grazed her wing. Sparks flew. She ignored the blow and kept flying. A Firebird exploded to her left, another to her right. The lasers were picking them off one by one.
"Muck you, snakes!"
Mairead said. She extended her Firebird's machine guns and unleashed her rage. Her starfighter thrummed as the bullets streaked up. The barrage slammed into copperheads, tearing through the small vessels. The two starfighter fleets kept charging toward each other, the copperheads from above, the Firebirds from below. With a firestorm that shook space, the forces collided. Several Firebirds and copperheads slammed together, exploding with showers of fire and flesh. Mairead's bird grazed a copperhead, ripping off several scales. Her hull dented. Her canopy cracked. She rose toward a mothership, released a missile, but didn't wait to see it hit. She turned and swooped toward the copperheads, which were now flying below her, and bathed them with hellfire. She was now facing Earth again. Her heart nearly shattered. The blue planet had turned red. Fires burned on the plains of Ontario, where Port Addison was located, the first and largest human colony. But the flames were everywhere. There were 500,000 humans on Earth. Only a year ago, they had been refugees. They had suffered untold pain in space. Most had survived gulags, torture factories where aliens skinned their victims alive. 2,000 years ago, humans had lost Earth, and since then they had languished in the darkness. Lost, hiding, hunted, tortured. Only 2 years ago, they had finally found Earth.
a planet many had believed just a myth. Haunted, brutalized, humanity had begun to return, to build again, to heal. And now this. Again, the fire, the agony, the death. Fury filled Mairead.
It's not fair.
Tears burned in her eyes.
We suffered so much. Billions of us died. Alien empires, one after another, slaughtered us for sport. The centipede scum, the marauders, the greys, the Hydrian squids, the Skrashen scorpions, now the basilisks. We can't even catch our mucking breath.
She roared out her agony.
Just give us a raw damn break.
But she had no time for such thoughts now. Right now the world was burning. The human fleet was collapsing. Mairead had to save whatever she could of humanity, or die trying. A blast hit her stern. She grunted as smoke filled the cockpit. Her Firebird tumbled and she wrestled with the yoke, finally steadying the starfighter. Another blast slammed into her. Her canopy shattered. Mairead screamed. Shards dug into her armored suit, then streamed out into the vacuum. She clenched her jaw, wrestling with the yoke, spinning madly. Everywhere around her, thousands of warships and starfighters, jagged debris, lasers and missiles and bullets, floating corpses. A Firebird exploded beside her. 10 copperheads swooped, firing lasers, carving up a human frigate. The massive warship tore apart. Its decks plummeted toward Earth and burned up in the atmosphere. Mairead shouted and opened fire. She didn't even have to aim. The enemy was everywhere. Her missile slammed into a rattler. Her bullets tore through a copperhead, but it was like swatting 2 bees in a swarm. Pointless. Another Firebird exploded. Another frigate burned. And Mairead knew she was going to die. Her breath shook in her chest. She was only 27. She had never fallen in love. She had never gotten married, raised a family.
It's too soon. I'm not ready.
She fired again, unleashing her last 2 missiles. She was down to bullets now, and her Firebird was barely flying. Her fleet was collapsing. Below her, the HDFS Jerusalem began to rise. The mighty frigate, flagship of the human fleet, had been Mairead's home all her life. She had been born in space, born into this war, born on that very ship. She had been raised aboard the Jerusalem, spending her childhood running through the winding corridors, exploring the engine room, gazing through the portholes at the stars. Even since arriving at Earth 2 years ago, Mairead had spent most of her time aboard the Jerusalem, ready to pilot her Firebird at a moment's notice. Now the Jerusalem, that beloved home, was cracked and leaking air. The lasers had seared off several decks. More fire kept pounding her, stripping off the last of her shields. Yet still the frigate flew, rising toward the enemy armada. As smaller warships shattered and fell around her, the legendary Jerusalem kept soaring. A broadcast emerged from the Jerusalem. The small monitor in Mairead's cockpit was cracked, but it flickered to life, showing a grainy image. She saw General Crane, a stocky man with gray hair and a bushy mustache. For decades, Emmett Ben-Ari had commanded the Jerusalem. But Emmett was president of Earth now, fighting down on the surface, and Crane commanded the human fleet. Now Crane spoke to the fleet as his bridge burned around him.
"This is General Michael Crane, speaking from the HDFS Jerusalem," said the burly officer. "All ships that are capable of atmospheric flight fly down to Earth and fight in the skies."
Mairead sneered.
"I won't abandon you, General."
"You will not abandon Earth," Crane said. "Colonel McQueen, lead all surviving Firebirds to Port Addison. Space is lost. Continue the war in the sky."
The Jerusalem was rising by Mairead's starfighter now. She could see Crane standing aboard the crumbling bridge, only 100 meters from her starboard bow. Enemy fire kept pounding the Jerusalem, carving up more decks. Shuttles were fleeing the flagship, carrying crew members. The rattlers fired on them. Several shuttles exploded. Others managed to reach Earth and plunged into the sky.
"Come with us, Crane," Mairead said. "General, enter an escape shuttle. Come with us to Earth."
As he rose by her, Crane looked through a cracked porthole. He saluted.
"A captain should go down with his ship."
3 copperheads swooped, coming between Mairead and the Jerusalem.
She focused on fighting, swerving around the enemies, firing her last bullets, taking them out one by one. The Jerusalem gained speed, soaring above her, shedding scraps of metal like an insect shedding its shell. The entire stern detached and fell. Shield plating tumbled down. A piece of shrapnel slammed into Mairead's Firebird, tossing her into a tailspin. She could barely steady herself. Crane was still on her monitor. The general raised his chin.
"For the blue skies of Earth," he said,
and engaged his afterburners. The Jerusalem shot upward with a burst of speed, hurtling itself toward the alien formations. The legendary frigate, the ship that had led humanity for decades, charged into the enemy lines, and among thousands of alien warships, detonated its nuclear arsenal. Light and heat flooded Mairead. She covered her head with her arms, grimacing. She was 20, maybe 30 kilometers away from the explosion. Her suit was built to withstand the harsh radiation of space, and yet this conflagration washed over her with the fury of a supernova. The battle paused. No more missiles flew. No more lasers burned through steel. Everyone stared. Above, the light faded. The HDFS Jerusalem was gone. This legendary ship, the great flagship of Earth, the shining beacon that had led humanity from exile to their homeworld, their pillar of fire in the night. She was gone, and Mairead wept for the loss. With her destruction, with the sacrifice of her commander, the Jerusalem had taken out 100 enemy warships. With a trembling hand, Mairead lifted her comm to her mouth. She spoke with a shaky voice.
"This is Lieutenant Colonel Mairead McQueen. You heard the general. All ships capable of atmospheric entry, fly down to Earth. All shuttles deploy. To the rest of you, Godspeed, children of Earth."
With roaring fire and blazing lasers, the battle resumed. More blasts hit humanity's fleet. More starships shattered. The starfighters and shuttles, vessels with wings, began heading toward Earth. Mairead's Firebird was damaged, barely able to fly, but she circled around the others, firing on the enemy, covering the retreat. Above her, the larger human starships, vessels that could not survive atmospheric flight, were rising in their final stand. Another frigate charged into the enemy lines and exploded.
"For Earth!"
its commander cried before the end. More light and heat and radiation bathed the battle. Another 100 rattlers tore open. More tears filled Mairead's eyes. One by one, the human starships were blazing with light, tearing through the enemy, going out with glory. And Mairead knew she would go out with them. She too would sacrifice herself for Earth.
"A captain does not abandon her ship," she thought, "and I will not abandon my fleet."
She raised her chin, even as tears flowed down her cheeks.
"I was born in space. I was raised among the stars, and I will die here."
As the shuttles descended, as the starships exploded, Mairead soared. She flew through debris, rising higher, engines sputtering, ascending through the fire and fury. Her starfighter was out of ordnance. She raised her pistol and fired through the shattered canopy.
"For Earth!"
she cried. Starships blazed above. The inferno washed over her. Her engines died, and for a moment, silence. Nothing but silence as the cosmos burned. And her Firebird fell. As she tumbled toward the Earth, Mairead stared above, watching the commanders of the fleet perish in fire. She screamed, wanting to join them, to die with them in glory, to rise with them to halls of fallen warriors. But the gravity kept pulling her. Her starfighter disintegrated around her. Only her armored suit protected her now. She ejected and blasted out into space, crying out in rage and agony. She floated alone through the battle, a woman in an armored suit, a woman falling. Corpses careened around her. Mairead tumbled through the battle and into the sky. She fell, teeth rattling, consciousness slipping. A mantle of fire burned around her. She was ionizing the air, shrieking downward, spinning madly. All was blackness. She floated in a void. She gasped for air, regaining consciousness, and saw the burning plains of Earth below her. Only a few kilometers away. Screaming, she grabbed the controls of her jetpack and ignited the engines. She streaked across the sky, leaving a vapor trail. She soared, staring upward, trying to rejoin the battle. But a jetpack could not escape the gravity well.
"I should have died with you," she howled. "I'm a warrior. I should have died in battle."
But she fell. She fell like a coward. The world was burning below her. All around her, the enemy shells were shrieking downward, exploding on the ground, digging craters. Smoke covered the sky. Chunks of shattered starships fell like meteorites. A piece of metal no larger than a tack slammed into Mraid's jetpack, killing one engine. It tossed her into a mad spin. She corkscrewed downward, trailing spirals of smoke. She killed her remaining engine and fell. A meter from the surface, she ignited the jetpack again, spurted upward, and then shut down the engine. She fell. She crashed through a canopy of trees and hit the ground. Darkness spread over her. As a fiery curtain spread across the sky, Mraid's head dropped to the ground. Blackness enveloped her, and there was no more pain. Chapter 2. Half a million humans. The entire population of Earth. They huddled underground as the surface burned.
"Get me General Crane on the comm," Emmett barked as the walls shuddered.
"He's gone, sir," cried an officer. "The Jerusalem is gone."
Another explosion sounded above. The bunker shuddered and dust rained from the concrete ceiling.
"Get me the Jaipur, dammit."
"They're all gone, sir."
The officer stared at him, her face pale.
"Our entire fleet. It's gone."
The war room shook again. Every second, another blast pounded the surface. The bunker was buried deep underground, and the walls were thick concrete reinforced with metal. But even they groaned in protest, and cracks spiderwebbed across them. Officers filled the bunker, staring at their monitors in disbelief. One man was trembling. Another man vomited in the corner. Doorways led to deeper bunkers, an underground network containing the entire population of Port Addison. People were praying, holding one another. A song rose from a nearby chamber, 100 voices singing together. They sang Earthrise, once the song of their exile, today the anthem of Earth.
"Our entire fleet," Emmett thought. "Gone."
The words lingered in the war room. The Jerusalem had been his home for 30 years. His closest friends had served on that ship. Earth's fleet, its orbit, its surface, lost. His officers were looking at him, waiting for his guidance. For a moment, despair clutched Emmett. He could barely breathe.
"We're all going to die," he thought. "The dream is over."
But then he listened to the people singing in the tunnels. Thousands were now singing together, their song filling the tunnels under Port Addison. His people were afraid but not despairing, bowing but not unbent. And they gave Emmett strength. He had never been prouder of humanity. He picked up his comm and he spoke, transmitting his voice across the tunnels. Not just the tunnels here below Port Addison, the capital of Earth, but to bunkers across Earth's 50 human communities. He spoke in a loud, steady voice, even as booms kept shaking the bunker.
"This is President Emmett Ben-Ari. Yesterday, the Galactic Council chose to grant Earth to the Basilisk Empire. At once, the Basilisks began a campaign of shock and awe against us. Ships from 6 other alien nations joined their assault. They are bombarding our colonies, seeking to break us. But we will stand strong. Underground, we are safe. Zerka, Queen of the Basilisks, will dare not nuke our planet, dare not drop explosives that can burrow underground. Millions of Basilisks live on Earth, most of them in tunnels of their own. So long as we stay underground, we're safe. The Human Defense Force, the military of Earth, knows how to fight this threat. Our brave soldiers are already mounting an artillery attack on the enemy starships. All soldiers of Earth, listen to your commanders. Fight bravely and we will overcome. All civilians, continue to stand strong, to support those who fight, and to inspire us with your courage. This is our war of independence. This
sample complete. Ready to continue?